May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. At the beginning of the service this evening, I read an introduction which stresses that Lent is an opportunity to take to heart the call to repentance and assurance of forgiveness, and so grow in faith and devotion to our Lord. We can sometimes see Lent negatively, simply as a time to give up and do without, a rather miserable time we need to get through with gritted teeth. But we are encouraged to see Lent as a positive time, which offers us the opportunity to grow in faith and devotion to our Lord. Now, it's true that Lent, and Ash Wednesday particularly, involves repentance. But repentance is not about feeling wretched about our failures, but about turning around, turning from ourselves back to God in order to move forwards positively. Our service this evening includes an extended prayer of self-examination and confession, which is much more thorough than our usual prayers of penitence Sunday by Sunday. In a few moments, I will introduce this self-examination and confession by saying, let us now call to mind our sin and the infinite mercy of God. We are encouraged to be honest about who we are in the light of God's endless grace. We don't call to mind our sins simply to stare at them in shame, but to acknowledge truthfully who we are before God and our need of forgiveness and his transforming spirit to turn around. Well, we might think, I haven't done anything that bad. I've not robbed an old lady or abused a child or run off with someone else's husband or wife. But of course, sin is not just about obvious individual sins, but about something much deeper than that. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbour as ourselves. Even if we may think we're not guilty of particular sins, which one of us can say we have loved God with all our whole heart and mind, or our neighbours as ourselves? Sin, that very churchy word, refers to our basic self-centeredness and desire to put ourselves and what we want before God and neighbour. And we can see this in our thoughts and our attitudes, as well as our actions. And it involves what we've not done as well as what we have done. Someone in the congregation pointed out to me recently that one of the prayers of confession we don't say very often these days has the words, we have sinned against you in thought and word and deed and in what we have left undone. The prayers of self-examination this evening seek to articulate some of the different ways we fail to love God and our neighbour through self-indulgence, anger, envy, rampant materialism, indifference to injustice and human need, uncharitable thoughts and actions. The list is pretty wide-ranging. Now, of course, some people, when thinking about sin, tend to focus on things like sexual immorality and other aspects of our personal lives. Others tend to focus on social justice and the failure to care for those in need, as we heard in our reading from Isaiah. But it's not an either-or. When we read the scriptures, we see clearly that God is concerned with every aspect of our lives. We can be self-centered and ignore God and our neighbour in all kinds of ways. Now, it's interesting that one of the phrases has been added to this liturgy of penitence in more recent years. And I'd like us just to think about that for a few moments. It's the phrase, for our waste and pollution of your creation and our lack of concern for those who come after us, accept our repentance, Lord. What we do or what we don't do in caring for the environment, how our action or our inaction affects people in other parts of the world or those who will live on this earth after us, is included in our prayer of repentance. We may never have thought of these things in terms of repentance before. But if the way we live shows indifference to God's creation and those in need, then isn't it something to bring before God and repent of and turn around? Some of you will be aware that Louise in our congregation, Louise Rappo, a member of our congregation, is doing some research on apology over climate change, encouraging older members of communities and families to acknowledge the effect their lifestyle has had on the next generation. This is not to put all the blame on the older generations. Many young people may also live very extravagantly and not give much thought to the impact that has on the planet. But together, older and younger generations, together we are called to repent, to acknowledge the ways, the effects of what we do and what we don't do, what that has on other people, and to say sorry for the way we failed to look after his creation. Now, that's not to make us feel miserable, but to motivate us to a different way of living. Now, if you turn to some of your many pieces of paper that you were given when you came in this morning, one of them has a poem on one side and something else on the other. But if you turn to the poem, it's a poem called Ash Wednesday. And this poem links the ash that we may receive on our foreheads in this service with the destruction of forests and our desire to keep buying more and more things. But the point of the poem is to move in a positive direction. The poem ends with hope. Acknowledging our sin is a hopeful thing because repentance means change. The cross we receive on our forehead is a sign of our sin and mortality, that's the ash, but it's also in the shape of a cross, a sign of God's forgiveness and the promise of a new beginning. So I'm going to read the poem, Ash Wednesday. It's by Malcolm Guite, which many of you are very familiar with in this church. Receive this cross of ash upon your brow, brought from the burning of Palm Sunday's cross. The forests of the world are burning now, and you make late repentance for the loss. But all the trees of God would clap their hands, the very stones themselves would shout and sing, if you could covenant to love these lands and recognize in Christ their Lord and King. He sees the slow destruction of those trees. He weeps to see the ancient places burn. And still you make what purchases you please, and still to dust and ashes you return. But hope could rise from ashes even now, beginning with this sign upon your brow. Now, if you turn over the page on the other side of where the poem is, there is a list of Lent eco tips. They offer us some concrete and positive steps forward. And I commend these to you this Lent as a way of trying to turn around and live differently in this particular area of our lives. Just to highlight one of these tips, eating vegetarian. Now, most of us are very aware that the amount of energy needed and the carbon emissions that are generated in producing meat, especially beef, is hugely more than producing vegetables and pulses. So maybe we might want to consider eating more vegetables and vegetarian food during Lent. Now, a few people have said to me here they would like to do that, but they just don't really know what recipes to use. They don't know what to cook for vegetarian food. So if you would like to start yourself off today, when you go out, Sue will hand them out. We have a little card that has two vegetarian recipes on that you can try out, one from Louise and one from me. Try them out, and we encourage you during Lent, if you have some favourite vegetarian recipes to send them into the office, and we will make a little St. Ursula's cookbook. We are encouraged in Lent to give time for self-examination and repentance. We may give things up or try and live more simply in order to better care for creation and our neighbours in need. But most crucially, we are to make time to seek God in prayer and to meditate on his word. We are to grow in faith and devotion to our Lord. So Lent may be a time to give up, but it's also a time to take on spiritual disciplines which will feed us and help us to grow. In our gospel reading this evening, Jesus warns his disciples about being showy about their spiritual practices to win the admiration of others. He assumes they will give alms, they will fast, and they will pray, but for the right reasons. All this is for God's sake. Whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. We are to set our heart on God and seek our treasure in him, and all our spiritual disciplines are to help us to do that. So, I also encourage you this Lent to make more time for God. And there is another little sheet here which says Lent 2023, and it has a few different suggestions of what you might want to do during this Lent. Our Lent course, we're going to focus on prayer through learning from some of the 14th century English writers, the English mystics, so-called. Now, you might think it's rather odd to look to writers who wrote such a long time ago, but I think it's very good for us to learn from the classics, and they are inspiring in their single-minded desire for God and can encourage us to deepen our own prayer life. So do come along to those. That will be on a Wednesday evening, four sessions, four different mystics during Lent. Alongside prayer, it's good to be nourished through God's word, and I encourage you to come along to our weekly Lectio Divina group on a Thursday morning. That's 10:30 to 11:15. We take a short passage of scripture, we read it several times in silence, we ponder any phrase or word that strikes us so it moves from our head to our heart, and at the end, if anyone would like to, we share our thoughts and reflections. And if there's anyone here who can't make a morning, who would really like to be in such a group in an evening, do let me know. And if there are enough people, then I will do an evening group during Lent as well. I hope that you will think and pray about some of these suggestions and how you might use this period of Lent. As I said at the beginning, let us all take to heart the call to repentance and the assurance of forgiveness, and so grow in faith and devotion to our Lord. May we all observe a holy Lent by examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word. I pray that this Lent may be a season of growth and fruitfulness for us all. Amen.